This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
They say, Rabbana, our Lord, إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا. Indeed, we heard. We heard who? مُنَادِيًا, a caller. مُنَادِي is one who does nida. نُون دَالِيَا, nida, to call out. So they say, our Lord, indeed, we heard a caller. يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَان, calling to Iman. And he calling us to believe. أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ, saying that believe in your Lord. فَآمَنَّا, so we have believed. Now the question is, who is this munadi? Who is this caller calling them to believe in your Lord? This caller is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And this caller is also the Quran, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called people to believe, and the Quran also calls people to believe, right? Any in its miraculous nature, you know, through its verses, the Quran calls us, invites us to believe in our Lord. And the jinn said about Quran that yahdi ila rushd, it guides to the right path. So the Quran guides, it calls us. And if you think about it, not every Muslim has seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So munadi over here is the Quran, because every person who believes has responded to the call of this caller to faith, which is the Quran. And in a hadith, we actually learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example of Sirat Mustaqim, of the straight path, that how there are two walls. Like, imagine there is a straight path, and on two sides of this path are two walls containing doorways. And on these doorways, there are curtains. Okay? And at the gate of the path, there is a caller saying, O people, come and enter the straight path all together and do not get diverted. Okay? So there's a caller at the gate saying this, that, O people, come and enter the straight path altogether and do not get diverted. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further described this path. And at the end of the hadith, he mentioned that caller at the gate of the path is the Book of Allah. So the Book of Allah is a munadi, calling us to believe in our Lord, to enter the straight path. So the ulul albab say, فَآمَنَّا, we have believed. And remember that the call of the Qur'an is for all times, all places, for all people, because it is the eternal miracle. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the Qur'an which is calling people to iman. أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Now, subhanallah, they say that our Lord, we have believed, right? Amanna. And then they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. They say, Rabbana, faghfir lana dhunubana. Rabbana, our Lord, faghfir lana, so forgive us. Meaning, because we believed, therefore forgive us. Forgive us for what? Dhunubana, our sins. Wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina, and remove from us our evils. Wa tawaffana ma'al abrar, and cause us to die with the righteous. So they say, فَغْفِرْ لَنَا, right? First they mention their iman, and then they say, our Lord, forgive us. And this is another very important etiquette of making dua, okay? Which is that you mention some favor of Allah on you, okay? And you mention something good that you have done. And then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you want, okay? So they first draw close to Allah by saying they believe, and then they present their ask. And this is tawassul. Tawassul is what? That in your dua, first you mention something by which you draw close to Allah, and then you ask your ask. Okay? Now, when you do this to people, for example, you say to your parents, Mom, you asked me to unload the dishwasher, and I unloaded the dishwasher. So now please, can you give me ice cream? When you say this to people, it sounds so wrong, because you are basically reminding people of the favor that you have done them, right? And we know that we should not be reminding people of the favors that we have done. Now when you apply the same thing in dua, where you first mention a good deed of yours, like they do, they say, Amanna, we have believed, therefore forgive us. Doesn't sound bad? No, this is actually not bad. Why? Because you're not bragging, and you're not reminding Allah of a favor that you have done him. No, the relationship that we have with Allah is very different from the relationship that we have with people. Okay? With people, our relationship is what? Reciprocal. Right? Or we are doing favors to them and they're doing favors to us. Right? And sometimes we are doing more favors, sometimes they're doing more favors. But basically, it's somewhat reciprocal. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's an entirely different game. It is that you are constantly on the receiving end. Constantly. He is the bestower of favor on you. So even if you do something good in order to please Allah, that is also Allah's favor on you. Because you're on the receiving end over here. You can never, ever, ever be on the giving end. No way. It is not possible. Even when you say Alhamdulillah, you're praising Allah, you're not adding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. No, you're not bringing any kind of benefit to Allah. When you say Alhamdulillah, you are the one who benefits. So it's Allah's favor on you that He gave you the ability to say Alhamdulillah. So when you mention your good deeds before Allah in dua, you're not reminding Allah of a favor. You're not boasting, you're not bragging, you're not demanding. No, you are acknowledging Allah's favor on you. That, oh Allah, You gave us the ability to hear the call of Iman. You gave us the ability to accept it. You bestowed this favor upon us. So here we are asking You for more. Because You are the source of all goodness. Because Allahu Akbar. And this is how dua should be. You know, first, express some kind of closeness to Allah. Talk to Him before asking for what you want. There should be some kind of intimacy. And tawassul, remember, can also be through the names of Allah. You praise Allah, you glorify Allah by mentioning His names. You mention His exalted attributes. You mention His perfect actions. Right? So for example, you say, Ya Rahman, O Merciful, Anta Arhamur Rahimeen, You are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Irhamni, have mercy on me. O You whose mercy encompasses everything, cover me with Your mercy. Ya khayr al-raziqeen, O best of those who give. O You whose hands are full. O You who is generous night and day. O You whose treasures do not reduce by constantly giving. O Rabb, O You who is able to bestow every human and jinn what they ask for. And even that would not reduce Your treasure. O Rabb, Ya Rabb, provide me. There is no creature on the earth except that You are its provider. So, O Rabb, please provide me. Allah, You give without measure. So provide me and do not deprive me. So, this is one way of feeling close to Allah. And another way of feeling close to Allah is that you mention Allah's favors on you. For example, you say, Ya Rabb, I was poor, You gave me well. I was lost and You guided me. I was ill and You healed me. I was sad and You removed my sadness. And then you ask for what you want to ask for. You say, Oh Allah, I was single, You gave me a spouse. Oh Allah, I did not know anything, You gave me knowledge. And mention the little things as well. Oh Allah, I didn't have a nice jacket and You gave it to me. Oh Allah, I had not traveled in so long and You enabled me. So, O Kareem, O generous one, I am here again to ask for more. Because where else can I go? When you mention Allah's favors on you in your dua, this is your attempt to feel closer to Allah. And Zakariya alayhi salam, what did he say? He said, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّ And never have I been in my supplication to You, my Lord, unhappy. Meaning You are generous. You have not deprived me of good things. You have given me more than I have ever asked for. And You have given me what I have asked for and also what I have not asked for. So as You have honored me before, I am here to ask You for more. I am here to ask You for more. So رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا So You forgive us, meaning You gave us the ability to believe, so we're here to ask for more. You also forgive us. And isn't this amazing? And think about it. We have believed, so forgive us. What does this mean? This means that between Iman and this dua, there were some sins. Shouldn't you be ashamed of yourself? Allah gave you the ability to believe and look at you. You're sinning and now you're coming asking for forgiveness? Shame on you. No, this is not how a relationship works with Allah. Anything good we have, anything good we can get, it comes to us from Allah. So we go to Him for every single thing, even forgiveness, because there is no one who can forgive sins except Allah. You know, what is the purpose of dua? Why do we make dua to Allah? Do we make dua to Allah to inform Him about our needs? To insist that He should give us because He doesn't? Is that the purpose of dua? No. Because Allah already knows what we need and what we desire without even us asking, right? And He is generous. He doesn't have any problem giving to us what we desire, what we want. It's not difficult for Him. It's not difficult for Him. When we go to people, they don't give us what we want. So we have to insist, because they're being lazy. They're too busy. They don't feel that our needs are that important. They don't really care about us. So we have to advocate for ourselves. That's not why we make dua to Allah. We make dua to Allah. The purpose of dua, the real purpose, is to draw close to Allah. Remember this. You're not informing Allah of what you want. You're not pressing Him to give you something that you desire. No. The purpose, the real purpose of dua is to humble yourself before Allah. To acknowledge and express your absolute need of Allah and your dependency on Allah. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that dua is worship. It is worship. So when you make dua, don't just make it in a bland, boring way. You know, with a heart that is detached and a heart that is distracted. That you're just making dua so that nobody says to you, you should have made dua. No, you're making dua to draw close to Allah. So, in your dua, mention your good deeds that are between you and Allah. Again, for the purpose of feeling closeness to Allah. To thank Him for His tawfiq. So you can have even more of it. So for example, in your dua, say, Oh Allah, You gave me the ability to give sadaqah for Your sake. Ya Rab, I gave something that I truly love, but I gave it away for Your sake. So reward me for it and do not deprive me. Say something like, Oh Allah, I was in a haram relationship and I left it for Your sake. Oh Allah, You give me tawfiq to leave these sins as well that I want to leave. So mention these things that are just between you and Allah. These are all different ways to feel close to Allah. And another thing is that when you are making dua, also mention why you want something. Okay? Because that also brings feelings of closeness to Allah. For example, the Prophet ﷺ made dua. He said, Allahumma shfi abdak. O Allah, heal your slave. Why? يَنْكَأُ لَكَ عَدُوًّا أَوْ يَمْشِي لَكَ إِلَى جَنَازَةً. So that he may wreak havoc on an enemy for your sake, or walk to a funeral for your sake. And he heal your slave so that he can do something good. So when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, okay, for instance, you're making dua, Oh Allah, grant me a child. Why? Give the reason. Mention the reason. Talk to Allah. Feel that closeness to Allah. Express that dependency on Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more tawfiq. Give the reason. Typically, what happens? People want children. Why? So that they can feel complete. But think beyond that. Oh Allah, grant me a child. So I have someone to pray for me when I die. Oh Allah, grant me a child. So that I can teach him how to pray and he becomes sadaqah jariya for me. Oh Allah, grant me a child. So that he becomes hafiz of your book. Oh Allah, grant me a child, so he will recite your book. He will worship you. He will pray in the masjid. He will lead salah in the masjid. He will learn your deen. He will make adhan. And he say such things. Mention your dreams and goals. Why you want certain things and why you're asking for them. Oh Allah, provide me. Increase me in my wealth. Why? So I can go for hajj. Oh Allah, heal me. Why? So I can study. When Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Harun alayhi salam a prophet, what did he say? Ushtud bihi azri, increase through him my strength, wa ashrikhu fi amri, and let him share my task. Why? Kay nusabbihaka kathira, so that we may exalt you much. وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا, and we may remember you much. Zakariya alayhi salam, when he prayed for a child, he didn't just say, Oh Allah, grant me a child. No, he said that I fear for my people after me, meaning there's no one I see who could take on my responsibility after me. I don't see anyone who would be a good leader, who would establish your deen. So, فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّ يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ. Grant me from yourself an heir who would inherit from me, and also he would inherit from the family of Yaqub, meaning he would be a leader of my people. He will continue my work. So these are just some ways of tawassul, properly making dua, drawing close to Allah. And to summarize, these are that you mention Allah's favors on you, you mention good deeds that are private between you and Allah, you mention the reason why you want something from Allah, right? You glorify and praise Allah by mentioning His names, by mentioning His attributes, by mentioning His perfect actions. And when you do that, you will find closeness to Allah, and you will realize that it's not the things that you want which bring you joy. It's actually the closeness to Allah that you feel in your dua that brings you real joy. And when you make dua like this, it will help you purify your intentions, it will help you set goals, and you will see the benefits of dua. So use different forms of tawassul. So they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا, and they say, وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا, and remove from us our evil deeds. مَغْفِرَة is forgiveness, the covering of sins, and being pardoned for them, not being punished for them. And takfir, وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا, takfir is their removal. And when they're completely removed from a person, taken away from a person. So take them away from us. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. And سَيِّئَات include sins that have been committed, and سَيِّئَات, يعني the bad habits also that a person has, the sins that a person is currently in. So كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ, and take us in death with those who are righteous. This means that gather us on the day of judgment with them. And abrar is the plural of bar or bar, yani the person who is righteous, those who have attained righteousness and the reward of that righteousness. So take us in death with them, meaning gather us with them in the hereafter, and that is in Jannah. Then they say, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ, our Lord, and you give us what you promised us through your messengers. So they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill the promises that He has made them. And the promises of Allah, which He has made His slaves, they are such that, as Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 16, كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ وَعَدًا مَسْئُولًا, that it's a promise worthy to be requested, meaning the slaves ask their Lord for the fulfillment of these promises. And it's perfectly fine to ask Allah to fulfill the promises that He has made us. And you ask not because you doubt, you know, the fulfillment of these promises. No. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill, for example, the promise of paradise, what you're basically saying is that, oh my Lord, keep me steadfast. Keep me steadfast on iman, on righteous action, so that I am worthy of receiving what you have promised through your messengers. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ, because Allah is true in His promise. He does not fail to keep His promise. The weakness is only on our part. So when we ask Allah to fulfill His promise to us, the promise of paradise, we're asking Allah to give us steadfastness, to give us the strength to continue. And مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ, what you have promised us through your messengers. What does this mean? This means two things. First of all, it means upon the tongues of your messengers. And He give us what you promised us through them. Give us what you promised us, any the good news that you gave us through your messengers. That if we do certain things, there is Jannah. And secondly, عَلَى رُسُلِكَ also means عَلَى اتِّبَاعِ رُسُلِكَ, for following your messengers, that whoever follows your messengers will have salvation. So give us salvation, give us paradise. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And do not humiliate us on the Day of Judgment. And what is the humiliation of the Day of Judgment? We learned earlier in Ayah 192 that إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ The one who is admitted into the fire, then such a person is humiliated. So, O Allah, save us from that disgrace. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ Indeed, you do not fail to keep the promise or the appointment. Mi'ad means both things. So the promise that you have made, whether it is the promise of paradise, the promise of salvation, you don't fail to keep it. You are able to fulfill it. People fail to fulfill their promises because circumstances change, right? Things are not always in their control, or they forget, or sometimes people turn out to be very deceptive. They promise one thing and they do something else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any such weakness. He does not forget, right? He is not affected by the changing circumstances. He is al-wahid, who is single, and he is the one who is supreme. So, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ So their Lord responded to them. Allahu Akbar. And إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ You do not fail to keep the promise. This is from وَاوَ عَيْنْ دَال. The promise of paradise, the promise of salvation that you have made. And mi'ad also means appointment, meaning the time that you have promised, which is yawm al-qiyamah. So what they're saying is that the Day of Judgment is certainly coming, and we believe in that. So on that day, you fulfill your promise to us by admitting us into paradise. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ So their Lord responded to them. Now, فَاسْتَجَابَ When fa comes before a verb like this, sometimes it gives the meaning of sur'a, and the speed with which something happens. So they make dua and فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ Immediately Allah responded to them. And this shows us that we should be eager to call upon Allah. And we should call upon Allah in the way that He has taught us. And in the way that He has showed us by informing us about the du'as of His messengers and the du'as of the righteous. And you know, when it comes to the du'as that are mentioned in the Qur'an, like for example these du'as, we should make the exact same du'as. We should say the du'as that are mentioned over here, like رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ We should make this du'a. Earlier we learned رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ Or other du'as of the prophets that are mentioned in the Qur'an, or different du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. So we should make these du'as. But we should also make du'a in the same manner that these du'as are made in. And we should imitate not just the words, but also the manner. Right? So, for example, here, how is it that the ulul albab are making dua? First, they're attentive, then they glorify Allah, then they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and while they're making dua, they keep saying, Rabbana, Rabbana, right? While they're making dua, they mention Allah's favors on them, they mention the good deeds that they have done, they mention their yaqeen, their belief, their conviction in Allah, right? So this is how we should also make dua. And you spend some time in making dua. Don't rush through your dua that just raise your hands and say, Oh Allah, please give me A, B, C. Thank you. Goodbye. That's not how dua is. That you just, you know, ask quickly for what you want. No, you spend some time feeling close to Allah, bringing yourself close to Allah, humbling yourself before Allah. And then you ask for something, and then you praise and glorify Allah again. And then you ask for something, and then you praise and glorify Allah again. Then you ask for something, and then you mention your good deeds. Take time. Don't rush through du'as. And when you pray like this, then your du'a will be accepted. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said that may Allah have mercy on the believers. They keep saying, Rabbana, Rabbana, until their du'as are accepted. Because what happened over here? They kept saying, Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana. And if you look at this passage, how many times the word Rabbana has come? Several times. And they kept making dua like this until what happened? فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ Their Lord responded to them. Right? He accepted their dua. So keep saying رَبَّنَا in your dua. And when a person keeps calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying رَبَّنَا رَبِّي then their dua is accepted. In a hadith we learn about a man who committed a sin and then said رَبِّي Oh my Lord, I have sinned, please forgive me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my slave knows that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for it, therefore I have forgiven my slave. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said after some time, the man again committed another sin. And he made the same dua, رَبِّي Oh my Lord, I have committed another sin, so please forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the same thing. And this happens a number of times until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my slave knows that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for it. Therefore, I have forgiven my slave. I have forgiven him. Subhanallah. So call upon Allah by his names, by his attributes, and especially say Rabbi. Rabbi, my Lord. Rabbana, our Rabb. Or say it in English, O Lord. Right? But use this name of Allah, Ar-Rabb. So, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ So their Lord responded to them that, أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى That indeed I, لَا أُضِيعُ I will not let go to waste. ضَادِيَعِين ضِيَعُ to waste. I will not let go to waste what? Amala, any amal, any work, any deed, of who? Of amilin, any worker, minkum among you. I will not let go to waste any deed, any work of any worker among you. Min dhakarin aw untha, any male at all or any female at all. Meaning whether the work, the deed is of a man or a woman. Allah will not waste any deed. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ You are of one another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assures the acceptance of good deeds over here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assures the reward for good deeds over here. When? When they qualify as amal. So first of all, we see that no matter who it is, if a person does something seeking the face of Allah and in the manner that Allah and His Messenger have commanded, then that work will never be wasted. Which means that a person will be rewarded for it, a person will be honored for it, so we should strive to do amal, because it is amal that Allah does not waste. And what kind of amal? Amal that qualifies as amal. And when is a deed truly an amal, yani that qualifies as amal? When it meets two conditions. First, that it is done purely for the sake of Allah. And secondly, it is done in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. So every such amil, every such worker is rewarded, whether they are male or female. And أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ I will not let go to waste. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single effort of yours, when you do it sincerely, when you do it properly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So He will not waste it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values it. Allahu Akbar. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ And look at how it is mentioned, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى Whether male or female, there is no gender discrimination when it comes to the acceptance of good deeds. You know, Salama radiallahu anha, she said that, O Messenger of Allah, I have not heard Allah mentioning anything about women and hijrah. Women and migration. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. That any work that is done by any of you, whether male or female, it will not be wasted. Allah knows about it, Allah has preserved it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ Some of you are of one another. What does this mean? That some of you all are from some others. This means that some of you all, meaning men, are مِنْ بَعْضٍ are from others, meaning women. Any men are from women. Any a man is born from a woman. Right? And the other way also, that some of you all, meaning women, are from others, meaning men. Any women are from men. Any a woman is born from a man. Right? So if a man is rewarded for his work, then a woman is also rewarded for her work. Why? Because you are from one another. You are all human beings. So people are rewarded not because of their gender, but because of their amal. Alright? People are rewarded not because of their gender, but because of their amal. So in terms of reward and also punishment, any kind of compensation, a man is not worthy of more reward or worthy of more punishment as the woman is. Okay? For example, if a man fasts, then he is rewarded, right? And when a woman fasts, she is also rewarded. What reward? The reward that Allah and His Messenger have mentioned. Yani, a man is not rewarded extra reward just because he's a man. And a woman is not given extra reward just because she's a woman. Yani, the reward is not based on the gender. The reward is based on what? On ikhlas and manner. And of course, each individual's situation, circumstances are different, right? I mean, there could be a person who fasts very easily, no difficulty at all. And they have their reward. But then there's another person who struggles a lot, who really has to put in effort. So their reward will be in proportion to their effort, right? So, بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا. So those who emigrated, those who did hijra, haji imra, wa ukhriju min diyarihim, or were evicted from their homes, they were expelled from their homes. Yani those who emigrated by choice, hajaru by choice, and those who ukhriju min diyarihim, yani they were expelled from their homes, yani they emigrated by compulsion. So hajaru wa ukhriju, yani yes, they're making hijra, but why are they making hijra? Because they have been forced out of their homes. And he literally driven out of their homes or threatened in regard to their lives. So they had to leave. As was the case of the Prophet ﷺ. He said that if it was not for your people who expelled me, I would never have left you. He said this to Makkah. That I only left Makkah because your people drove me out. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ also said to Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith that you all plotted to kill me, so I had to leave. So, hajaru wa ukhriju. They were forced out of their homes. They were expelled from their homes. And then, wa udhu fi sabili. Udhu, they were hurt. From adha, hamza dhalia. Why were they hurt? Fi sabili, in my way. In the way of Allah. So the only reason why they were hurt was because they were in the way of Allah. They believed in Allah. Sabil means religion, and it also means jihad. So they were hurt when they were on the religion of Allah, because they believed in Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Buruj, ayah 8, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. The only reason why they tortured them was because they believed in Allah. And the only reason why the believers were persecuted was because they believed in Allah. No other reason. So sometimes a person is, subhanAllah, picked on simply because of their iman. They're singled out for harassment. They're bullied. They're harmed. They're hurt. Why? Because they are in the way of Allah. They believe in Allah. They're on the religion of Allah. They are observing the religion of Allah. And then sabil also means jihad. That they were hurt when they were in jihad for the sake of Allah. Yani, when they were striving for the cause of Allah. When they were striving to elevate the name of Allah. Yani, they could have been at home, but they didn't stay at home. They went out in the way of Allah. And when they went out in the way of Allah, they were hurt. They got tired. They got injured. Or people turned against them. They created more enemies. So, wa'udhu fi sabili. And this has been the case at all times. That the believer is harmed by others simply because of the fact that he is in the way of Allah. And Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the relative of Khadija radiallahu anha, who had become a Christian in pre-Islamic times, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation and he was confused as to what was happening, Khadija radiallahu anha took him to Waraqa. And Waraqa said to him, I wish I would be alive when your people will drive you out. Subhanallah. He said, Ya laytani akunu hayyan idh yukhrijuka qawmuk. When your people will drive you out, I wish I would be alive at that time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Awa mukhrijiyahum? Will they drive me out? And Waraqa replied, Yes, na'am, because there is no man who has ever come with the same that you have brought, except that he was treated with hostility. He was opposed. So you will be opposed. And he said that if I should remain alive till the day when you will be turned out, then I will support you strongly. This is in Sahih Bukhari. So this has always been the case, that the believer is hurt in the way of Allah. Maybe you've witnessed that. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you lived a life before being very religious. Or maybe you have converted to Islam and you have experienced that before people did not bother you as much. And now all of a sudden, everyone is bothering you in one way or another. So, وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي. And then, وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا. They fought and were killed. Allahu Akbar. This is how intense the hostilities can become. And this happened with the Muslims in Medina. Right? They had no choice but to fight. And when you fight, you also have losses. So, وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا. But all of this, why? For the sake of Allah. If that is the case, then لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely I will indeed remove from them their evil deeds. Remember, they made dua, وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. Remove from us our sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will remove them. But for who? Those who strive in the way of Allah. Those who bear hardship in the way of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon their mistakes. And this is good news for the believers. That for every hardship that the believer experiences, whether it is big or small, there is expiation of sins. And this also shows us that those who do big good deeds like hijrah and jihad, right? These are the good deeds that are mentioned over here. They emigrated and then they were hurt in my way. They fought and were killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will remove their sins. This shows that those who do such big good deeds can also end up committing sayyi'at. Right? It's human to make mistakes, to commit sin. So the one who believes in Allah, strives in the way of Allah, in spite of the hardship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase their sins. وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ. And surely I will indeed admit them. I will make them enter. Where? جَنَّاتٍ. Into gardens. Which gardens are these? تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. These are not the gardens of the world. This is the gardens of the hereafter, of جَنَّاتِ الْعُلَى. And these are gardens where تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. Rivers flow under them, meaning under their trees. And ثَوَابًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. All of this is recompense from Allah. And it has been said, مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. مِّنْ عِنْدِ means especially from. And what is from Allah is going to be tremendous. So it is said, وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. And Allah with Him is the best recompense. There's no other recompense better than this. So when you look at the whole ayah, you see a picture of, you know, people striving in the way of Allah, struggling in the way of Allah. And to bear suffering is hard. It can be so upsetting, you know, to see that a person is being picked on, a person is harmed just because of the fact that they're Muslim. But those who remain steadfast, then their reward is huge.